Ed Robertson with enough time to tell you that Ed Asner will star along with Michael Shannon and Jordan Coley in a virtual production of God Help Us. God Help Us, the critically acclaimed political comedy that will stream live Saturday, October 31st, beginning at 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific. A political comedy in which God Almighty moderates a debate between two pundits, one a liberal, one a conservative. God Help Us is incredibly timely and speaks to many of the issues facing us all today. God Help Us, virtual performance starring Ed Asner, Michael Shannon, and Jordan Coley will stream live Saturday, October 31st, beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. A live talkback featuring all three actors will follow the 90-minute performance. Tickets start at $22 for individual viewing, plus there are family rates for up to 9 viewers viewing the performance on the same device, and group rates for 10 or more viewers. God Help Us, virtual performance, live streaming Saturday, October 31st, beginning at 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific. For tickets and more information, go to piventheater.org, piventheater.org, or onthestage.com/piven-theater-workshop.
Hi, this is Dawn Wells. Guess what we're listening to? TV Confidential.
We're talking to Michael Dante, star of Winter Hawk, Custer, Westbound, Kid Galahad, Somebody Up There Likes Me, The Naked Kiss, Seven Thieves, and other films and TV series. Michael's memoirs of his show business career are now available in a new book called Michael Dante, From Hollywood to Michael Dante Way, which you can find at BearManorMedia.com, Amazon.com, and wherever books are sold online. You mentioned in our last segment, 30 films, 150, television productions. There's no way we can cover everything in one conversation. So if you don't mind, I'm going to jump around a little bit.
All right.
I know that you did Kid Galahad with Elvis Presley.
Right. Yeah.
I agree with you about Elvis. Elvis was a much, much better actor than people realize.
Absolutely. He was not only a much better actor, but he was limited to what the studios would allow him to do.
Mm-hmm.
They financed the pictures, and the colonel knew exactly where the money was because they had the music rights.
Mm-hmm.
And the music rights were the source of the major income, not the box office of everyone paying to see Elvis on the screen. Where they made the big money was the music,
mm-hmm,
and the publishing rights.
Mm-hmm.
So the studios wouldn't finance because he wanted to. We had a conversation a couple of times. He said, Michael, I would love to be doing what you're doing, to freelance and do different kinds of roles and expand as an actor. I really enjoy acting. He said, but I'm tired of walking down some pathway, the girl under my arm singing a song, opening the door of a car and then starting another song, or sitting on a swing or doing something with a lady and after a few lines of dialogue, singing one song after another. He said, I want to act. I really love the profession. And he was such a gentleman. It was always yes, sir, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, and always on time, always knew his dialogue. He was a joy to work with. He was character that I played. We did all our fight stuff ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
No stuntmen did our sequences in Kid Galahad. And he was a good athlete. He was a rugged guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was very, very loved football.
Yeah.
In between shots, we'd throw the football.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Now,
yes,
and
he did.
And he was just an all-round good all-American and a good athlete and highly professional.
Yeah. Plus, as you say, I know he particularly appreciated movies like Kid Galahad, where it gave him an opportunity to act, because it was not your typical Elvis movie.
Right. It was one of his favorites because of that.
Mm-hmm.
He had a chance to show what else he could do besides sing and romance a beautiful young lady.
Now, of course, David Weisbart was the producer of Kid
Galahad. You would work with him a few years later when you played Crazy Horse on Custer.
That's right. David Weisbart was a fine producer. He did the first film at Warner Brothers. He produced that film at Warner Brothers that introduced Jimmy Dean to the screen. So he had a great reputation, and he was a producer of Kid Galahad. And when he finished working in the film, he put his arm around me and said, we'll work again down the road. He said, Michael, thank you for a terrific job, and I love your boxing ability. You're a good boxer as well as a good actor. He said, we'll work again. And he did. He called me personally to play Crazy Horse. And at that time, I had turned down a couple of other series. And I thought, well, with working with David would be something very special. And then I had enough credit, credits, to establish myself as a versatile actor when he asked me to play Crazy Horse in the Custer series. Because I was afraid of, if the series, doing a series at that time, in those days, because you didn't make a lot of money in those days. Today it's a lot different. Mm-hmm. If a series ran a year with the money you could make nowadays in a year or two, you got enough money to live for a lifetime. But not in those days. They didn't pay that kind of money. So, and if it was a failure, you had, it was an onus against the actor to be associated with a loser series and to get other work, and then you had a negative overexposure. So I was leery, and I didn't want to be typecast. So when David called me personally, I had second thoughts, because he was a very tasteful, talented man, and he wanted me. He said, there's nobody in the world I would rather play Crazy Horse than you.
Sure.
And so with that, I thought it over. He said to think about it overnight. I did. I called him the next day. And this is just between he and I, and before he talked to the agent. So I accepted, and I said, fine. I told the agent, I want to do this, and I would look forward to working with you.
There are a lot of other talented people on that show, Michael. I didn't know that Samuel A. Peoples was also involved with that show. He wrote that.
Yeah, he was one of the writers, or producer writers, the show, and we had a lot of good actors on the show that were regulars and semi-regulars. So the show was doing fine, but unfortunately during that period of time, it was politically incorrect to make a hero out of Custer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got into politics, isn't that crazy? But anyway, it did. It got in the way, and they canceled the show because they didn't want to heroize and make a hero out of Custer week after week. So knocked off the air after 17 shows. But the producer who saw, producer, director, writer, Charles B. Pierce of Winterhawk, saw me in Custer and said, that's the guy I want to play the title role in my movie, Winterhawk. And I did. He cast me in it, of all the actors in the business. And playing a title role is really a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 0.5% of all the actors that ever lived have the opportunity to play the title role in a film. And I did with playing Winterhawk, who I made a spiritual man.
Yeah.
It wasn't written that he was a spiritual man, but I made a marriage with the character, and in developing the character, made him a spiritual man, so that every decision I made in the film was based on a greater essence than ego. So I relied on the wind, the sun, the moon, the environment, and the wildlife encompass everything on earth to make a decision when I had to make a decision. So it was a character that I developed that I was very proud of. manifested his dignity and nobility, which the Native Americans loved and complimented and praised me for.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And going back to, you know, one of the things we started our conversation with, Michael, which is you appreciate the opportunities you've had in your show business career and your sports career, tying in it to Winterhawk. With some directors, some producers, you're given a script, you have to stay on the page. Not everyone will allow you to give the kind of input as an actor that Charles Pierce allowed you in the making of Winterhawk.
Right, exactly. Some of the improvisations that we did, and he knew that I made a marriage with the character and that I was on the right track, because they would look at the footage that was shot the previous day, and they called it the rushes. Mm-hmm. They look at the rushes, mm-hmm. and they saw what I was doing, and just loved what I was doing, and just guided and added to what I was doing to the story, and he photographed it accordingly. So he was happy, we were happy, and of course the result was there on the screen. We were critically very successfully, and financially the picture did extremely well at the box office.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay Area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.